SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When it's the dog days of summer, that means just one thing. Time to clock out, sit back, relax.
Shut up!
Yeah.
All right? How about that?
Sorry about that. It's time to lock in for another edition of Moneyline with the two best hosts on radio, Donnie Wrightside.
But it is what it is. Otherwise, if we just ran off a spreadsheet, there'd be no gambling, there'd be no sports books, because everybody would just press buttons and win every single thing they absolutely bet at that point.
And Kevin Walsh.
Even if the matchup's a little worse, Donnie, odds are he's going to bounce back because he's just been too good kind of right now, and he let an opportunity pass him by.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Ah, yes, the best hour of your day now officially underway right here on the Sports Grid Network. It is Moneyline. It's a solo mission today for your boy Donnie Wrightside. Phone lines are open just the way we like it. 844-843-6879. If you want to call in, hot topics over the weekends. What did you see? What did you bet? What did you win? What did you lose? And more importantly today, those hot topics are continuing to flow here. Now, we have a lot of action-packed information to go over the next hour. You know how we do it here. But I do want to start with this. Have you guys been enjoying the Olympics? Because for me, I love the time zone that it's in. I love the fact that basically when you wake up in the morning through the mid-afternoon, you can watch live action on your TV. I also like the fact that at the end of the night, NBC does go to the main broadcast and bring you the stuff that you missed. You know, medal rounds, big competitions, stuff that you might not have heard about during the day, or if you did hear about it during the day, you can still watch at night. I think it's fantastic the way it plays out. Now, granted, weekend action is usually better than midweek action. Am I saying that there's better events during the weekend? No, but most of us are available to watch. Now, for me, in my business, I am going to watch the Olympics just about all day long. It's always going to be on one of my TVs here. Now, granted, as I do a live show right now for you guys, I can't have the sound on. I can't pay a lot of attention to it, but I do like to look up and say to myself, hey, you know what? I can see somebody winning a gold medal or a big event here and read about it. It's fantastic. But having said that, even in this business environment that we have, which is called the content business, people do make mistakes. And even though you are professionals, sometimes you get things wrong. Now, why am I talking about this, right? It's not the Super Bowl. It's not the World Series. We've all heard calls that have been missed in our time, right? Swinging a long drive. There it goes out to left field. It is caught by the left fielder. We've all been down that path. We've all seen it happen before. But when you're watching the Olympics once every 4 years, in maybe the biggest event of the Olympics, which is the men's 100 meter, it is a sprint. It determines the fastest man on the planet. And we need accountability. I watched it live yesterday. I didn't watch. It wasn't a replay. Like, oh, let me see what actually happened here. I was excited to watch the men's 100. They even had the ticker on the screen. Like, okay, 15 minutes before this race is going to start. 10 minutes. Counted it all the way down where we wanted to see. And Noah Lyles ends up with the gold medal victory, which was a phenomenal race. Kashane Thompson looked like he was in line for the gold medal 3/4 of the way down that track. An unbelievable closing speed from Noah Lyles. Now, from me, sort of, yes, you're listening in the background to the person calling the race, which was NBC announcer Lee Diffie. But here's what happened. The race was over, and to my naked eyes, ooh, I don't know who won that race, but it did look like Kashane Thompson, and maybe just because it was at the top of the screen as opposed to the bottom of the screen where Noah Lyles was. Like, man, I don't know who won that race, but it looks like Kashane Thompson. Well, basically, the announcer proclaimed that he thought it was Kashane Thompson, but I didn't even mind that at that point. It was so close to the naked eye, you knew it was going to have to go to a photo finish, which it did. Here's the issue that I had. I don't really care so much about calling Kashane Thompson the victor, but the fact when it was official and Noah Lyles had won the gold medal and basically tore his nameplate off his shirt, rose it up to the rest of the crowd, and started his little victory lap, we got absolutely nothing out of the announcers. We were sitting there waiting for at least, it had to have, like, it feels like an eternity in the time. But I'm not going to lie. At least 1 minute, where we didn't get an announcement from the actual telecast on who won the gold medal when he was celebrating, his mom was celebrating, but like, is he celebrating because he thinks he won? And it's like, you know, boxing at the end of a match. Who's seen this before? We go 10 rounds, toe-to-toe, punching each other in the face, and ding, 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 ding. The end of the 10th round, what happens? Both boxers celebrate as if they won, trying to sort of, I guess, if it was close, where the judges would give them the victory, because obviously if they're celebrating, they thought they won. Well, that's what it felt like here at the end of that race, where Noah Lyle was like, yeah, that's me, hold it up, and running around the track and got nothing from NBC. Nothing visually on the screen where it just would have showed the winner and or just announcing it themselves. So it sort of took a little bit of the luster off, and it's crazy to think that you see, like, umpires blow calls, referees blow calls, announcers do the same thing as well. And I just thought in that big moment yesterday, the fact that Noah Lyles won the gold medal, but we didn't get to enjoy it as much as we could have right off the bat because of how bad the call was on NBC. It's really just a shame it came down to that. But that was an unbelievable performance. You're talking about like the most exciting 10 seconds in sports that you can possibly have. And what an unbelievable race Noah Lyles won. Basically, halfway down the track, guys, he wasn't even going to medal. By the end of the race, just sneaks in as the gold medal winner. I love it. He's going to run the 200 this week, so certainly another chance to cheer him on. But an unbelievable performance. And also, I do have to respect this. Because, you know, me growing up back in the day as a legitimate wide receiver, look good, play good, and you better convince that other side that you're going to be a legitimate threat. Now, some might say, what do you mean by that? Talk me through it, Donnie. We all did this, and it's like playing college football, forget about it. Let's just go to high school football. Let's just go to, like, you know, middle school football if you played. We all did this. Trust me on this. The bus pulled up. Let's just say you're the home team. You're already on the field stretching, working out, having a catch. You guys know what you did. You looked at that other bus and just getting off the bus, measuring up the talent, right? And when I say this, more or less, I guess we were on the same boat. But as I was like a freshman, let's just say freshman, sophomore, maybe even some of the junior year, you're more worried about the other team and opposing. Like, ooh, I wonder if they have any big players over there. Like being a defensive back, you see like the giant fullback get off the bus. You see the huge running back or the monster linebacker. Like, dang, that guy's big. We're going to have to tangle with that guy today. By college football, that all disappeared for me. Like, I didn't care how big anybody was at that point. Grown men playing, I didn't care because I was a grown man at that point. But in high school, you always worried about it. And the reason I bring that up is, you know, the stylistic advantage that you have. Like, a guy that gets off the bus and looks the part, you're giving him the benefit of the doubt right away. Clean cleats. Maybe some spandex under the pants. Maybe a couple wristbands there. Like, if you look the part, correct helmets. And when I say about that, mainly the face mask at that point. Like, if a quarterback gets off the bus and he has an offensive lineman face mask, you're not respecting that quarterback at all. But you see a running back and or a wide receiver look the part and also presented it with that clean uniform, you're like, you know what? That guy's got confidence. I bet he can play. The reason I bring that up is Noah Lyles. That dude told you this entire competition, even though he wasn't even winning his sprints at that point, or so to say his heats in the business, he was telling you he was going to win that race, and I feel bad for the rest of my competitors in this 100 meters right now. And he went out and lived up to the hype, because there's one thing to be that hyped up. He came out when his name was announced, whatever lane he was in, 4, 5, 6, I forget what it was. He ran sprinting halfway down that track, firing up the crowd like, I like this guy's moxie. I do. But at the same time, you don't want to beat yourself up and be exhausted. Because we've all been there in sports. And again, just using the football angle, running my first, you know, slant pass, which I wasn't even getting the football, just running a defensive back off 25 or 30 yards down the field. What were you worried about at that point? Being exhausted for play number two. Shout out Noah Lyles. Told you he was going to win the gold medal and had your back, United States. He had your back. Love to see it all the way through. Other hot topics, which include the Michigan Wolverines. The best hour of your day. Yeah, it's officially underway. I'm Donnie Wrightside, and I'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back here on a Monday. No better to start your week right now. Well, technically, your week should already be started, right? You guys were watching early on the early line. Me and Ben Stevens breaking down everything you needed to know. But now you get to spin a little bit here and sort of let your opinions get out into the atmosphere and see where they go. No bigger opinion from me when I was watching last year the Michigan Wolverines. And if you guys have watched the shows, you know I do take it to a next level when I say to myself, you know what, kids? We are in a new realm of technology. We're in a new realm of accountability. So what you should be doing now is cheating every single step of the way in whatever you do, kids. And some of it is a little bit tongue-in-cheek, right? Like, hey, test coming up here. They got to pass this week. Just cheat on it. Because the chances of getting caught are very slim, and if you do, apparently nothing happens anymore. Reggie Bush, like me, if I was played for USC in the early 2000s, I've said this rant many times, I'd never talk to Reggie Bush again. He'd never be welcome on the USC campus because he thought he was bigger than the team himself and threw away everything for the benefit of himself, which is the ultimate move of being selfish. But that's neither here nor there at this point. But looking forward to what has happened to players in the past, like getting a couple tattoos, selling some gold pants for Ohio State, got them into trouble. Jim Tressel basically getting kicked out of football. He saw SMU in the 1980s paying their players a couple $1,000 here and there. They get banned and get the death penalty, which means their football program went away for a period of time. The Miami Hurricanes in the mid-90s, the football establishment hated them so much. Some poor kids trying to use their Pell Grants for some extra money. They get banged and almost get the death penalty, right? We've seen this all in the past. But I don't know if it can hit as home as much as possible as this Michigan scandal itself. Because I always thought, you know, even if money does rule the roost, and it does, and sometimes it's unfair to call it the way it is. But if you remember, what, let's go back, today's what, 2024? Let's go back 20 plus years. The New England Patriots and the Bill Belichick, you know, regime in New England. The fact that this guy was out there filming on the sideline and having a chance to break down actual signs at halftime, and this guy was filming practices during Super Bowl week by having embedded people that are in the stadium just to film the other teams. You know, maybe they show a trick play, maybe they show a couple plays you can get some extra advantage of, and always Foxborough Stadium down the stretch. Ask Mike Tomlin about it. If there was a big play in the fourth quarter where you had the football mysteriously, your headphones went out and weren't able to work, putting you at a disadvantage. You know, Deflategate all the way through. The Patriots have some of the biggest scandals in the history of football and barely any penalties to show for it. Tom Brady will go down as the best quarterback of all time. As part of a cheating regime, no doubt about it. Bill Belichick will go down as one of the best coaches of time. Clearly in a cheating regime, pushing that envelope time and time again. Even you take a look at Major League Baseball. The Houston Astros clearly cheated to win World Series. They didn't get their World Series taken away. They actually got immunity for saying, like, yeah, we cheated. And Major League Baseball was like, cool, thanks for just admitting it. No harm, no foul, and good luck next year. We have the ability to sort of look past cheating because we can't have the financial ramifications come back to us. Like, what happens if you kick the Patriots out of the NFL, right? We know that's not happening here. What happens if you said the Patriots can't make the playoffs the next 3 years? You know that's not going to happen. It's just not. Houston Astros, you can't participate. Boston Red Sox, you can't participate. Never happens. Never happens. Financially, they're not going to take that hit. So when you take a look at major college football and the Michigan Wolverines, you see Sharon Moore is one of seven members of the 2023 Michigan football program accused of violating NCAA rules, according to the draft and the notice of allegations. Sharon Moore also was allegedly caught deleting a thread of 52 text messages between him and Connor Stallions. Jim Harbaugh obviously just escaped to the NFL, knew the time was up. He was going to get banged by the NCAA, won his national championship, and got out of town. Michigan under Harbaugh, very average the first couple years. The last couple years, very good. That's when the cheating scandals all started to begin and now are unraveling. And even got caught midseason. We go, we'll just give you a 3-game suspension, coach. But no players, nobody else is going to be accountable to that. And you're still able to have your season. Because if the NCAA and the Big Ten were surely honest about saying it's about integrity of our sport and the Big Ten, the most integrity-driven conference in the history of sports, they couldn't afford to have Michigan get banned and not make the national championship game and or playoff. It was just financially not feasible for them to do that. But I say to myself, in a perfect world, what would have actually happened here? What would have actually changed? Like, what should be the outcome of this? Where now you know it's a fact. Connor Stallions was on the sideline at Central Michigan as they took on Michigan State. Just there to gain intel for a later game for Michigan. You see how crazy that sounds? The deleted text message, you know, went back and forth between Sharon Moore. We didn't know anything. Everybody knew everything. Same thing as we talked about Patino back at Louisville. I had no idea what my recruits were doing this weekend. You know every pencil in that athletic department and where it's supposed to be. Every piece of paper, every paper clip is accounted for, and you know it. But you don't know anything about any of those recruits. Because we are going to get recruiting. And I made a phone call here, impermissible, which Sharon Moore did as well. But the fact that everybody on that Michigan staff knew exactly what was going on every step of the way, and it looked like they were going to get away with it. Now, granted, you might say to yourself, like, oh, it's unfair, they're picking on Michigan. Do you remember even last year Michigan's first game where Harbaugh was out? We're going to take a knee for Coach Harbaugh. Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. But the greater good is going to win out for Michigan. Like, what's going to happen here? Like, now that we know that Michigan straight up cheated and it's official and their coaches were in on it, nothing's going to happen here. Like, in a perfect world, like Michigan. But remember Bo Schembechler and Harbaugh? We're Michigan men here. That's what we do. We uphold everything that is right here and damn those people from down south in the great state of Ohio. But now you are caught absolutely cheating. And the only way you could win was to flat out blatantly cheat. And now we'll see if there's any penalty here. Or does it even risk? You say, you know what? I got it. Like Jim Harbaugh. Nah, I got out of town, man. Absolutely phenomenal. Won my championship. Yeah, they're going to give me a show cause. I'm in the NFL now. I'm never coming back. But the question now is Sharon Moore, who's their head coach. Were there any penalties going to be leveled now? Again, if I ran the NCAA, Michigan would be gone. They'd never play college football, or at least they'd be wiped out with the death penalty for a minimum of 5 years. And then they're welcome to restart their program. Much more hot topics on the way, which does include Major League Baseball. Come on back with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Get paid, people. That's the goal, being a professional. And if you're in the NFL at the top of your craft, like Tyreek Hill is in the Miami Dolphins, you expect to be paid accordingly. And he is now paid accordingly. Over the weekend, Pro Bowl wide receiver Tyreek Hill and the Miami Dolphins reached an agreement on a restructured contract worth $90 million over the next 3 years. That includes $65 million guaranteed. That brings the four-year total fully guaranteed money for Tyreek Hill to $106.5 million. We talked about this on the early line a little bit earlier today. Now, what does that mean for the grand scheme of things? I love this. Stephen Ross, the owner of the Miami Dolphins, has more money than he knows what to do with. So if you are in the salary cap restraints, take care of your best football players. How do you expect to win games? Like we always talk about, and again, it doesn't have to be professional sports. Wherever you're at right now, you're listening to the podcast, you're listening to us live right now, you're in an office setting, you're out in the car, you work from the field, you work from home. Whenever you get a good vibe in the office where you're happy to show up to work, you're treated accordingly, and also you're paid accordingly, everything usually works out better for the office because you're happy, you're content, but you also want to keep it up. Say, man, these vibes are really good in this office environment. Let's keep selling whatever we're doing. Let's keep monitoring whatever we're doing, logistics, whatever have you. Morale means a lot. The reason why I'm bringing this up, it's pretty simple. The Miami Dolphins this offseason took care of their quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa, paid him a ton of money, and rightfully so. It was his term to get paid, stayed healthy last year, away they go. We knew that deal was going to get done. It finally comes onto agreement. Earlier in the offseason, you take a look and say, all right, Jaylen Waddle, one of the best young wide receivers in the sport, you're due for an extension. Let's take care of you. And they did that. Tyreek Hill, who has been making the rounds this offseason on certain podcasts, saying, you know what, man, I don't want to go anywhere. I just want to stay in Miami. So Stephen Ross and the Miami Dolphins, what do they do? You're going to be in Miami for a long time. You might be the single best wide receiver in football, and we're going to pay you accordingly. That's how you handle your business. Because now do you know what the Miami Dolphins are looking forward to this season? Just winning football games, people. That's it. Just winning games. You've taken care of your top talent. They are ready to perform. They're not worried about before the game saying to themselves, oh no, if I get hurt tomorrow, my guaranteed money's out the window because I expected to get a deal this offseason, didn't get it, tried to wait till next year, and now I'm injured and I'm not going to make nearly the amount I could possibly make. The reason I bring up the Miami Dolphins is that's the way you're supposed to treat your franchise guys. You look at Philadelphia, Jalen Hurts got paid a ton of money, Devonta Smith got paid a ton of money, A.J. Brown getting paid a ton of money. That's what you're supposed to do. Take care of the wide receivers that take care of your football team. Now, if we make our way around the league and say, all right, well, where could these issues certainly pop up? And we always tell you, the sooner you can pay your superstar players, the better it's going to be long-term, specifically with your actual bottom line when you're taking a look at the salary cap. So if we look at San Francisco, messing around here once again, into camp, key players missing time, maybe the best left tackle in football right now, currently sitting out with Trent Williams. He wants more money. Now, granted, he is older in his career, but if he is going to say, I'm still the best left tackle in football and I think I'm underpaid, you better up some of the guarantees for me. And then when you see guys like Tristan Wirfs getting a ton of money, that only raises the price of the product, which is the contract that he's going to get. You take a look on the offense, which you are right in the strike zone of being the best team in football. And last year, I bet in the playoffs the team to be the best team in football in the Super Bowl was the San Francisco 49ers. Came up a little bit lame against Kansas City. Tough scene. They didn't win. But they're still in that strike zone to say, we can get back and win this. Let's just be healthy. Let's be happy and let's be content. Brandon Ayuk's one of the better young wide receivers in football. He wants his extension. And rightfully so. A lot of guys already in the boat with him are getting their extensions. Now, we don't know exactly what he's asking for. If he wants to reset the market above Justin Jefferson, we'll see. But quite frankly, why did it get to this point? You could have signed him a few months ago where he wouldn't be asking for the top level because technically Justin Jefferson was always going to reset that, but he smartly waited that out. So now you see two key players on San Francisco upset right now before the season even begins and don't build that camaraderie. Yeah, they might be showing up to training camp not to get fined, but standing on the sidelines in shorts and a t-shirt, that's not going to help you. And the same thing we talk about in Dallas with CeeDee Lamb. He wants to get paid at the top of the pay grade. Who knows what that's going to cost Jerry Jones? And then again, I will continue to speak it into existence. The Cincinnati Bengals, I have no idea what they're trying to do. They actually think with all this money going around the wide receiver position, Ja'Marr Chase can be like, yeah, you didn't take care of the last wide receiver. Now you're telling me you're going to take care of me next year? Stop the madness. Pay me now. Major League Baseball handicaps right on the horizon. We'll do that right after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League Baseball, people. Yeah, we got some games today. It's a Monday. No better time to start now than trying to make some money this week than starting on a Monday. Had a very good week gambling last week. Enjoyed myself, made some money on Saturday, made some money on Sunday, and obviously throughout the week we had some pretty good success. Having said that, if anybody knows me, and I know like the Joe Lisi's of the network, my Carvers, they always tell you, or their opinion is, you know, never, ever should you be cashing in tickets early at that point. Make sure you stay all the way to the end. Don't settle, don't hedge, just let it play out. And sometimes that's warranted because you're trusting your handicap all the way through. Now, I do trust my handicap, but when I see there's money on the table to be had, I like to sometimes cut it short and say, give me my money, let me move on, let's see what we can do. Now, the reason I bring this up is yesterday. Here's one that hurts a little bit. And as I said, I put up my favorite batters yesterday. We did very well. Like even on a three-team parlay, sometimes I dabble in taking team totals alternate lines. Not up higher, but just taking them lower. Like I took yesterday, Twins over 1.5, Dodgers over 1.5, and the Rockies over 1.5. Each one of those games at least had two or more runs. So I picked up $100 there, and that's fine. But I had to pay $228 in order to win $100. That's okay. I say to myself, you know what? Those are easy ones. You don't have to sweat them all that much, even though that Colorado game was a little bit of a sweat. Here's where the error took place yesterday. And I can't say it's an error. Because sometimes when you're handicapping, you're saying, you know what? Let me put in one of these with a big shot. Now, as you know, I also had, what else did I bet yesterday? Doyle and Machado in the same game, easily at least have one hit run or RBI. Hit that one there. That paid me back plus $66 off a $100 risk. Also had Trevor Larnach and Matt Wallner each to get one hit run or RBI in that game. That was at even money. That wasn't bad. So $100 paid back $200 on that. So yesterday, like, we were chilling. We were living. And I said, you know what? Right before the game started, let me take all three of the guys I like. Because also like Lux and Ohtani, which in their individual parlay lost, because why? Shohei Ohtani couldn't get a base hit or a run scored in that game, which is ridiculous. But I took a $100 round robin yesterday on a three leg, which meant same game parlay, Machado and Doyle, to each get three or more hits, runs, or RBI together. Not combined, they each had to get three. Same thing with Gavin Lux and Shohei Ohtani. Same thing with Wallner and Larnach. Well, how about this? Wallner and Larnach, part of that parlay, or should I say round robin, was a plus 650 price for each Wallner and Larnach to get three plus hits, runs, and RBI. They both got that. So once that happened, it popped up, the cash out was, you can profit about $150 off of that $100 wager. I ended up taking it because we were halfway through the Padres-Rockies game. But here was the issue. That $100 initial wager, the payback was just over $10,000 if it hit. So granted, Machado, Doyle, Lux, Ohtani, Wallner, and Larnach all had to get three or more hits, runs, and or RBI. And if those three parlays, which were between six people, hit, it would have been slightly over $10,000. But I always play in the round, which is why we round robin it. You have to get at least two of those three to cash in a ticket here. So I bet it in the parlay itself, so if all three of them hit, and also the round robin. So it's a $100 total wager. Here's the issue. And sometimes you root against yourself. We're all the same way, aren't we? Doyle, I think in the fourth or fifth inning, gets the first run for the Rockies on a home run, which again right away cashes that. That is a hit one, that is a run two, and that is a milestone RBI. So he takes care of that. Manny Machado actually had two scored already. I don't know if he had the RBI, whatever it was. Two out of the three already hit. But when I hit it, it's like he still had probably two more bats to go. I said, you know what? He might get there, he might not, but I don't know what's going to happen with Lux and Ohtani. We're going on basically the same time. So I cashed out for the plus $150. Like, I'll put that in my pocket. That's fine. We'll transfer that over to tomorrow. Saul Machado had the two, which means, once again, had an RBI single, which maybe it was a double, but had an RBI and a base hit, which covered two. And I said to myself, I don't think he's going to come up again at this point. So he comes up, I want to say, honestly, in either the seventh or eighth inning, Machado, we're talking about here. And I said, and he was like, oh, there's a chance that he could drive somebody. It doesn't get, like, oh, I think it's the seventh inning. I was like, oh, good, good. I started rooting against myself, saying, I hope Machado doesn't get the three. So I was like, that's the last time he's going to come up in this game. Don't you know, I checked the minute that game ended. I saw the Padres had 10 runs, and the last player to drive in a run was Manny Machado. So that meant Larnach, Wallner, Doyle, and Machado all hit their three plus. Now, granted, Lux, I believe, had two total hits, runs, and RBI, but Ohtani had none. But that would have set off, I didn't have the numbers up in front of me, but if it was $10,000 to complete the sweep, it at least cost me $2,000. Like, I won $150, I probably should have won probably $3,000 or $2,500 on top of that. But I cashed out early and cost myself. Now, beggars can't be choosers. You did it, and you took the money, and let's just say if, I don't know, Machado doesn't get that third run, you got nothing. So you didn't even make any money on that. So I wanted to take the 150, but it's funny where it doesn't cost you, like, oh man, I just gave up $100. Like, no, I probably gave up $2,000 to $3,000 yesterday because I got out of that play. It happens, it stinks, you start to root against yourself, but it came in there, it's like, wow. And then it would have been just, cap off everything is if that Dodgers game went crazy and Ohtani got that final bat and hit a home run and Lux, you know, comes behind him and gets a base knock. You get the point here. But giving up that much money sort of stinks here. All right. It is a short card today in Major League Baseball. So let's start to set the stage for what we anticipate today. Philadelphia Phillies and the Los Angeles Dodgers, by far the best game of the night. Glasnow versus Nola late night. You know your boy DRS loves his Phillies. And you know your boy DRS will not be watching that game because, again, it is on that late at night. Having said that, if we're lining up the pitchers, last 60 days, minimum 20 innings pitched today, and say who gives us the best chances and who gives us the best chance to fade today. Top five pitchers on the card: Tyler Glasnow, Hunter Brown, Aaron Nola, Andre Pallante, and Logan Webb. That's the top five. The bottom five today, that would be, let's see, Kyle Hendricks, J.P. Sears, James Paxton, Logan Allen, and Roddery Munoz. With Roddery Munoz being the worst on the card by a wide margin. Last 60 days, xFIP minus numbers for Munoz, a 137 xFIP minus, an ERA of over 5.5, a 5.60 xFIP number, and a Sierra of 5.39. He's the worst by far. So the fadeable pitchers, you typically want in that 115 or higher range. But the bottom five, Kyle Hendricks, has a 109 xFIP minus. You could fade him. J.P. Sears of Oakland, a 110. You could fade him, even though he's playing against the Chicago White Sox, which we'll get to in a moment. James Paxton showing up again here. Cut by the Dodgers because he was brutal. Now is probably going to be in some trouble tonight at Kansas City with his 121 xFIP minus number and an ERA close to 6. Sierra and xFIP numbers certainly high. And then Logan Allen for Cleveland tonight should be able to get hit around going up against the Arizona Diamondbacks. So those are the guys that you're looking at and say, you know what? That's who I want to fade. But again, Glasnow, Brown, Nola, Pallante, and Webb, you probably want to stay away from them tonight. There are, what, 3, 6, 9 total games tonight. First game starting, New York Mets, St. Louis Cardinals. That game's going to start at 5:15 p.m. Then you have 3 games. We're starting right on 6:40. That's Arizona and Cleveland, Cincinnati and Miami, San Francisco and Washington. The 8 o'clock games, Houston versus Texas, Minnesota versus Chicago. That's the Cubs. Boston and Kansas City. And then the late night games, 9:40, the Chicago White Sox and the Oakland Athletics, then Phillies and the Dodgers taking place at 10:10. Now, let's focus on the Chicago White Sox, people. How did it get to this point? They are on the verge of losing their 21st game in a row. It doesn't even make sense to say that. It's almost physically impossible in Major League Baseball to do that. Like, even the worst teams every season win right around 60 games, the worst of it. Even the worst teams can take down and win series against decent competition. Even the worst teams from time to time can just come up with a win once or twice a week. It's just the way baseball is. You get a pitcher on the mound that has a decent day. You get some batters that back you up. You come away with a victory. The Oakland Athletics are a minus 180. The Athletics are a minus 180 price over the White Sox to extend that to 21 games? Outrageous. It's Donnie Wrightside. More baseball on the other side. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
By the way, I just heard that previous update there talking about Bitcoin. Tough scene for Bitcoin over this weekend. Tough scene also for the stock market today. My goodness. Let's pour a little bit out for the 401k people out there today. Not a great look right now, but there's money to be made in Major League Baseball, which we are going to get to momentarily. But as we always tell you, the phone lines are open. 844-843-6879. Let's not wait any longer today. The phone lines are working. Let's get to the people because they need to hear from the X-Man. It's been a while. He's on the phone. It's a Monday. New week, new money. X-Man, welcome in. Let's see if we can get these winners.
Yeah, man. You could put your money on X-Man when the stock market is doing bad.
You know? Oh, I mean, that's exactly why we needed you today. Talk to us. Yeah, absolutely, man. Let it rip.
Yeah, this one for the East Coast. Because we're going with the money line. New York Mets, money line.
Yep.
Boston Red Sox. And the money line, the Philadelphia Phillies, baby.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
9-1.
9-1. So we got Phillies, Sox, and Mets, Sox, and Phillies at a 9-1 price right now. X-Man, you got anything for the Olympics? Anything hot? Anything cooking there? Any bets there? What are we looking at?
I expect Team USA to win the gold. But they always lose the first quarter for some reason. You might want to take the other team to cover the first quarter spread. Or if you're the X-Man, I'm taking the money line, baby. So that's how I do it.
Looking at shouting out Brazil for the first quarter against Team USA. But there we go. A little Major League Baseball action. Nine games tonight. X-Man telling you. Mets are handling their business. By the way, Red Sox people, not White Sox, handling their business. And the Philadelphia Phillies money line. There we go. Always good to hear from the X-Man. Handing out those gifts. Little Santa Claus in August right now. It's, look, as he said, he just told you. Stock market is down. He's got you covered. You can replenish that 401k, those stocks, that Bitcoin, by investing in the X-Man's Major League Baseball action. Love to see it. Love to hear from the guy. But today, St. Louis and the Mets. Let's start off right there. 5:15 p.m., sort of a makeup game today. St. Louis played last night, got beat by the Chicago Cubs, looking to bounce back. Mets, two-game losing streak, they're looking to bounce back as well. Sean Manaea is going to be on the mound against Andre Pallante. Here's the interesting part. One of those pitchers that you don't talk about all that much is Pallante here for the Cardinals. On the season, 265 batters faced. How about an ISO of 112 and a weighted on base percentage of 314? Over the last 30 days, not a lot of action because, again, you're looking at the, you know, All-Star break factoring in. He's faced 72 batters, but has a 132 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 285. You do have some good weighted on base percentages here against right-handed pitching for the Mets in the lineup today. The only guys that have a down streak, per se, Brandon Nimmo and Francisco Alvarez. Outside of that, everybody else has solid numbers, but you probably trust the pitcher a little bit more than you do the hitters. Pallante is fourth on the card with an 81 xFIP minus today and an ERA of around 3 for the past 60 days. That ain't bad. So if you flip it over to the other side and take a look at Sean Manaea, who's not having a great season here by any stretch, but a 102 xFIP minus over the past 60 days with an ERA of 3.38. He hasn't been bad, but I do like the fact that this Cardinals lineup doesn't strike out all that much against lefties. So I do give a slight lean towards the Cardinals today, but nothing really in action. Like, ooh, I got to, you know, jump on and take this game. Cleveland and Arizona. Next game starting tonight at 6:40 p.m. Eastern. That game's going to be live in Cleveland. Logan Allen's on the mound. Logan Allen, through his last 21 batters, which is basically one game, does have some pretty good statistics, but on the season, not so good at statistics. 16 pitchers on the card today that qualify. Logan Allen's 15 out of 16 with a 122 xFIP minus and a high ERA, high xFIP, and a high Sierra number. So what you're going to want to look at is, right, lefty pitcher, give me the right-handed batters. Ketel Marte is a solid look. Josh Bell's a solid look. Eugenio Suarez is a solid look today. So those would be the guys that I probably would be looking at from an RBI perspective. Now, if we go over to Arizona's side, obviously Zach Allen's on the mound. He's a much better pitcher for us than, let's just say, a Logan Allen is. So the advantage is there, and that's why you're favored today if you are the Arizona Diamondbacks. Gallen has a little bit of struggles with right-handed batters over the past 30 days, a 430 weighted on base percentage, and an ISO right around average at 173. But that lineup doesn't present itself all that well against right-handed pitching for the Cleveland Guardians. Rain is in the forecast, so maybe a buyer beware, but I like the Arizona Diamondbacks today and the Diamondbacks RBI perspective from their angle. Let's take a look at the Marlins and the Reds. Now, as I told you, there are 16 pitchers on the card today that I have rated. 16 out of 16 is pitching in this game. That's Rodery Munoz with a 137 xFIP minus, a sky-high ERA, a sky-high xFIP number, and a sky-high Sierra number. Doesn't look all that good here for us. Also, keep in mind, 88 degrees at first pitch, which I wonder, you know what? I wonder if Miami would even have the roof open tonight as I say that. Like, are they going to just have that air conditioning on? Let's just say it is open. No rain in the forecast, it looks like. They probably won't have it open. So let's just say it is going to be a dome environment. Munoz to lefties. He has gotten absolutely torched by lefties. Here we go again, people. You know where I'm going. You've seen that meme before. Like, L.A. De La Cruz. 52 at-bats against right-handed pitching past 30 days. 271 ISO, 458 weighted on base percentage. He should get base hits. He should get RBI. He should be scoring runs. He never helps me out. Munoz, terrible against lefties. De La Cruz will be a lefty tonight in this game. He should eat. Spencer Steer, 291 ISO power number against righties over the last month. TJ Friedel, 200 ISO power number. Tyler Stevenson, 312. Jamer Candelario, 255. Jake Fraley, 300. You get the point here. The Cincinnati Reds should eat tonight. Team total, 4.5. I think they go over and get 5. I don't care that we're in Miami if the air condition's on in that big cavern of a ballpark. Munoz is terrible. His ISO power numbers are off the charts for the season. 288 batters he's faced, a 284 ISO power number against. Get out of town. The Reds should be able to handle their business tonight and rock Roderick Munoz. So if you're looking from an RBI perspective, again, it hurts. It really pains me to say. Like, Ellie De La Cruz should be on that list. TJ Friedel should be on that list. Jake Fraley should be on that list. And quite frankly, the middle six batters, look at these ISO power numbers against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days. 271, 291, 200, 312, 255, and 300. The Reds should pound this guy. And by the way, if I don't take Ellie De La Cruz tonight, you know what that means. 3 of 5, 2 RBI, 3 stolen bases, 2 runs scored, and away you go. It always happens. It never fails. But I like that perspective. But also, I do think we probably get a total in that game as well. Not a great pitcher on the other side of Nick Martinez either. A lot of fun to be had on this Major League Baseball card. Let's close it down in style next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Getting your week started in style, people. That's what we do right here on Moneyline. Yes, the Sports Grid Network on fire this week. A lot of coverage here in the Olympics. A lot of coverage in Major League Baseball. Full slate this week anticipated for the NFL preseason. Love that. But let's get to the phone lines here. 844-843-6879. Jordan calling in, rallying the valley out here on the grid. Talk to me, Jordan. What's up there, buddy?
Donnie, what's going on? How you doing, man?
My guy, what's good out there?
Oh, I heard the X-Man just called in. He's, you know, he's a loyal listener, but I'm on the Cardinals today. And then, I just want to throw out a college football pick for right now.
Oh, yes.
I bet Virginia Tech minus 13. They're playing Vanderbilt. But that's the play for week one, Donnie. You're the man. Best guy on the grid. Love the show. Y'all have a great day. I'll talk to you soon, man.
There you go. Jordan checking in here. Love when the phone lines work. Hear from the people out here. Hopefully we get that all the way situated through football season. But as I told you, sort of a guinea pig show here on Moneyline. It's what we do. I'm not afraid to test new boundaries of technology. So we're trying to get some new capabilities behind the scenes. Sometimes it's going to be a little bit of a rough go. And right now Moneyline is testing out all those capabilities. We should be up and running full blast, hopefully, in the next couple days and or weeks, certainly before football season. But I do like it, that little morning blast, right? Because I go through 3 hours of TV, flip right over to radio, get to expound upon what we talked about, which does include baseball. Football season is going to be so, so much fun during the week. It really is. All right. Let's take a look here at some of the other Major League Baseball games tonight. San Francisco and Washington, not really on my radar either side. Now, granted, San Francisco is a much better pitcher on the mound today. Logan Webb going up against Patrick Corbin. That should be an easy win for the Giants, but I don't really like it from a betting perspective. Houston, Hunter Brown, one of the better pitchers on the card today versus Andrew Heaney. I'm staying away from that game. Minnesota and Chicago. I do think we get totals in this game that we might be able to hit. The wind is blowing in Wrigley, but it's not blowing in a ton. It's under 10 miles an hour. Two pitchers, I believe, that can be had. One in David Festa, the other one in Kyle Hendricks. You got a lineup today with the Minnesota Twins anticipated, 1-7, all with elevated weighted on base percentages against right-handed pitching, which Kyle Hendricks hasn't been great by any stretch this year. Only 85 batters faced on the season for David Festa. He's got astronomically high ISO and weighted on base percentages here, and a lineup that includes Michael Busch, Seiya Suzuki, and Cody Bellinger that should be able to do some damage against right-handed pitching. So I think the total in that game over 8 does make some sense there. Kansas City and Boston. Total approaching double digits at most outlets here, and rightfully so. 91 degrees at first pitch. And it looks like 6-7 mile an hour winds blowing out to left field. James Paxton doesn't strike anybody out, lets everybody hit fly balls. That could be disastrous. He's a left-handed pitcher that doesn't get out right-handed batters. And out of the 9 batters we anticipate tonight to be in the lineup for the Kansas City Royals, only one of those batters is going to be a lefty. That's Vinny Pasquantino. He's actually a left-handed hitter that does well against left-handed pitchers to the tune of a 300 ISO power number. Bobby Witt Jr., Salvador Perez, Hunter Renfro, all legitimate options. Now, granted, Brady Singer is a better pitcher on the mound than James Paxton. Brady Singer does struggle a little bit with left-handed batters on the season. He's going to get some good ones tonight, people. Duran, Yoshida, Devers, Abreu, Smith, and Hamilton. That's seven left-handed batters going up against what Brady Singer doesn't technically do well. So even though that number is high, they probably get there, and a lot of RBI opportunities will come from this game. Once we see that final layout, we're going to get after it. We're going to get after it. Chicago White Sox, Oakland Athletics. What's the updated number here? Let me get the updated number in this game. Minus 188 at FanDuel, minus 175 at BetMGM, Bet 365 up to minus 185, a total of 8.5. The Chicago White Sox take on the Oakland Athletics, and J.P. Sears isn't even a good pitcher, people. Last 60 days, a 110 xFIP minus an ERA over, he has an ERA over 5 and almost a 2-1 favorite. This is Oakland. We're not throwing a 5 ERA like Dodger player out here. It's like, oh, well, the Dodgers will be able to back you up. This is the Oakland Athletics. And if the Chicago White Sox lose today, that's 21 losses in a row to tie a Major League baseball record. That is outrageous. That is outrageous. But it looks like it's going to happen tonight. And the game of the night, Aaron Nola of the Philadelphia Phillies taking on the Los Angeles Dodgers, Tyler Glasnow. Minus 132 price at FanDuel, minus 130 at BetMGM, minus 130 at Bet 365. Total in this game listed at 7.5, which is down from 8, which was earlier today. Had Tom Vecchio on with us. He agreed. I also liked it as well. The under 7.5 does make sense. Obviously liked it better at 8 because it takes 9 to beat you. We'll see what happens in that game. I'm not looking from an RBI perspective technically either way in that one. Just for an interesting one for the two best teams in the National League going, hey, head-to-head tonight. That'll do it for the show, but I feel like we're starting the week off with a bang and ready to let loose. Thanks for tuning in today. Chris Brown, the Wheels of Steel, Donnie Wright's out here on a solo mission. I'll see you again tomorrow.